Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here. I drove down from Dayton, Ohio 2 days ago, and it's 10 degrees warmer there than it is here right now. I don't know what happened right there. Whoever's in charge of praying for the weather, you know, come on. You need to get busy. I'm supposed to put this on, and somebody's got the confidence they might want to record this. You might change your mind. But the first thing, let me say this. It's a privilege and an honor to be here and just to ever have an opportunity to say something for the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's sure worthy. And so I look forward to this and have for quite a while. And so has my wife. And she's not with me today because one of our daughters gave birth a week ago, 5.5 weeks early. And it was a real troublesome pregnancy. And I've been praying for my daughter's life for 2 months as well as the child. And God saw fit to bring that thing to completion, if you will. And the baby was born early, but the baby's fine. Actually, should be coming home today. It was born about 8 days in the hospital. So she's there, my wife's there, and my daughter had a 5-year-old girl and a 2-year-old, and so she's helping out. And that's just part of being a mom and being a grandmother. You know, there are just times where, you know, we just have to, this is a forced separation. And, boy, I tell you what, it doesn't take me very long, like about an hour, to realize how much I need her. So she's praying for the meeting. Our home church in Dayton, Ohio is praying for the meeting. Other friends we have are. And I appreciate your prayers. And I already sense that God's not the one that's playing hard to get in this age. Amen. He wants to meet with His people. He's already made all the preparation, all the necessary things. He's not the one that, you know, that we have to beg to show up.
Amen.
We have to beg each other to show up. But
Amen.
God wants to be here and wants to meet with us. Let me read something here before I get started. It says a nine-year-old named Jeremy, his mother, asked him after church one day what he had learned in Sunday school. And here's what he said. He said, "Well, Mom, our teacher told us about the time Pharaoh had all the Israelites as prisoners of war in Egypt. And somehow they got the word out, the word of their predicament out to God, who sent in a special operations team led by Moses behind enemy lines to do a rescue mission to get them out. And everything was going according to plan until they got to the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was closing in on them. And so Moses got his engineers to build a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea, and then all of Israel escaped. And then when Pharaoh's men got on the bridge, Moses radioed headquarters, called in an airstrike, and bombers blew up the bridge, killed Pharaoh, and all the Israelites were saved." And so then the mother says, "Now, Jeremy, is that really what your teacher said?" And Jeremy said, "Well, not exactly, Mom. But if I told you what she said, you'd never believe it." I'm going to tell you why I say that. Because I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it just the way it's written right here. Amen. Thank God for the Word of God. We had a great Sunday school lesson in here this morning. Great truths. Amen. I trust in the other classes. But thank God that we can come together. And it's not a club. And it's not a social event or gathering. It's just about getting around the book that the Lord Jesus Christ saw fit to leave us here with. And we have a foundation that's based on something real.
Amen.
Take your Bibles this morning now and let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll read verse 13. Now there's quite a bit here, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with the passage. It's often recited at graveside. It's a good one there. It talks about the Lord coming back and dealing with those that have gone on to be with the Lord. And we buried a precious man in our church last Thursday. He was a member there before I ever got saved. Actually, been there over 30 years as a firefighter. and was down in Tennessee visiting his mother and had a heart attack, died. Thursday, very unexpectedly, a week ago Thursday, the same day my grandson was born. And so then I was viewing on at our church on Wednesday night, and I left bright and early the next morning to come here. And boy, I tell you what, I've been to some graveside services where this is the very passage that a person might go to, and it talks about the dead rising first, and it's a comfort. And the very passage ends in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And if you're saved, then they're a comfort. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to sorrow. I miss my mom. I miss my dad. I miss my friends, but I know where they are. Now, I don't feel like I know where they are. I know where they are because the Bible tells me where they are. And the Bible tells me that I can go there too, and I'm going to. Not because I feel saved or got a haircut. Amen. I'm going to tell you what happened to Dave Spurgeon happened on the inside months before anything changed on the outside. Amen. But in verse 13, I want to get something. I want to preach on a thought subject here this morning. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. See, God does not want us to be ignorant brethren.
Amen.
So I gave us a book.
Amen.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Well, what that thing indicates right there is, now the book's written to believers there at this little church in Thessalonica. And what he's saying to those believers right there, it says, you've got something other people don't have. And it says what it is. It's hope. It's hope. Listen, if you're saved in here this morning, you've got hope.
Amen.
And listen, we live in a day and age, in a world that most people are going to and fro, and most of them have no hope at all. And if you're saved in here this morning, there's a time when you didn't have any hope either.
Right.
It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And without God in the world, I got a message called A World Without God. I tell you what, I can't think of anything more terrifying than that concept right there. Now, I lived in it for almost 38 years, and I wasn't afraid because I didn't know any better. But boy, when I think back at the mercy of God, amen, and the provision of God and everything else, man, it's a miracle. Any of us ever made it through that. But if you made it through that, what do you mean? I mean, are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Are you heaven bound? I tell you what you got here tonight. No, all your, listen, someone said to me one time, Brother Spurgeon, I can't remember how they put it, but I'll say it like this. All fairy tales do not begin with once upon a time. Some of them begin with, now that you're saved, all your problems are over. That's a fairy tale right there. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved, your biggest problem's over. Amen. Why? Because you got some hope. And let me say this to you. Your hope has a name. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope.
Amen.
I like that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Now you know why I'm an evangelist, not a song leader. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning on the thought, this thought right here. There is hope. Amen. That cheers me up right there. Just the truth of that statement. Amen. Let's pray again. Father, I do come to you in the name that is above every name. And God, I thank you, Father, that somebody came to a Montgomery County jail 22 years ago and told Dave Spurgeon he had bigger problems in prison. But they told me about the solution to those problems too. And I thank you, God, for the day that common sense prevailed and I bowed my heart to thee. And Father, I pray and ask, dear Lord God, that you'd meet with us today, continue to meet with us in a mighty way. Father, help us to get out of your way. And may your Spirit speak to our hearts and do what no one else can do. And we'll give you all the credit and the glory for it if it could be that way. Lord, if there's somebody in here who doesn't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have this hope that we're talking about and singing about and preaching about, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. I love you today, Lord. And I thank you for the privilege to be your child and to stand in this pulpit. Pray all it's said and done. Be according to thy will and pleasing in thy sight. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me say some things about hope today. There's hope. I just like that thought. Amen. Listen, sometimes you turn on the news or the radio or something like that, and boy, you drive around a little ways, you'll start thinking there is no hope. I tell you what, a lot of people woke up back in November one day, they woke up and thought, well, there's no hope now for sure. Let me tell you something. What happens in Washington isn't the determining factor of what goes on with a Christian anyway.
Amen.
Again, our hope is in God, in Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, there's hope today for several reasons. Let me give you three of them. There's hope because of His pardon. That's one of my favorite Bible words. You'll see why in a minute. And it says this in Numbers chapter 14, in verse number 19. You've got Moses, who's the pastor there of the Church of the Wilderness. Amen. He's got quite a congregation there. And here's what he's doing at Numbers 14. Here's what he did often, and here's what pastors do often. And they go to God on behalf of their flock. Amen. That's according to Hebrews chapter 13 as well. And it says this in 14:19, book of Numbers. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Amen. Like I said, that's what preachers do a lot. Amen. And go to God, give account of you. Amen. And may they do it with joy and not with grief. Amen. And he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. And then he says this, according to the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. According to the greatness of thy mercy. You know what? Moses is buttering God up right there. That's what he's doing. I mean, that's what I think. You know, he's going to him with a legitimate need for a bunch of people that legitimately need the forgiveness, the pardon, that can only come from God. And so he's asking him for that. And then he's reminding God, and God knows he's merciful, but, you know, it's like a lot of things. I guess this maybe is what worship is. God knows who he is, but he likes us to sometimes acknowledge that we know who he is.
All right.
And it says over there in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he's rich in mercy.
Amen.
And I got thinking about that one day, and I thought, if there is anything God surely needed to be rich in to save the likeness of Dave Spurgeon, let alone all that he went to the cross for, if there's anything you need to be rich in, it was mercy, and thank God he is.
Amen.
Thank God he's rich in mercy. And Moses says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy. Here's what Moses did, and in verse 20, God answers him. God answers the prayer, real simple. And the Lord said, I have pardoned. According to that word, it was that simple. It isn't religious. It isn't some big, long, ritualistic rigmarole. Listen, he made his request be known unto God. Amen. And God said, okay. Listen, a preacher said it this morning. We got a prayer hearing God. We got a prayer answering God. He just answered the Lord's. He answered Moses' prayer on behalf of the whole nation of Israel. And he did what? He pardoned them. Pardon, I like that word. Over there in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, a verse that I use to help others, a verse that the Lord used to help me. He says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's an incredible verse. Listen, my preacher told me this early on years ago. Don't let your defeats defeat you. Amen. Paul says, here's how you deal with it. And you put it behind you, and you keep going for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, that's good preaching, and that's sound doctrine, and that's a blessing and a help for anybody, especially some of us that experience a lot of defeat, especially some of us that got a lot of garbage in the rearview mirror. Well, let's just leave it there and keep focusing on what's ahead. But the thing that's significant this morning is this right here. It's not just true. too. It's not just Bible. Let's look at the man who said it. The person that said, forgetting that which is behind. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles by the time he wrote the book of Philippians. But listen, it wasn't too many years before he was known as Saul. He was known as the chief persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. Here's the guy that invented door-to-door visitation in Acts chapter 8. He wasn't going and knocking on doors and inviting them to church and giving them a Bible and telling them about Jesus. He was hailing them into prison and torture and even unto death. In the beginning of Acts chapter 9, the Bible said he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And then the Lord saved him.
Amen.
Then the Lord moved in. Lord, change his heart. I tell you what, if Christians could get a hold of beginning their walk with Jesus Christ and continue their walk with Jesus Christ the way Paul did by just saying simply, what would thou have me to do?
All right.
Amen. That'll work. Amen. And so the very guy that said that, he that did all those things, that persecuted unto death the early believers in Christ, he said, forgetting that which was... How could he say that? I'm going to tell you. He is pardoned.
Amen.
He was pardoned. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. That's what a pardon is right there. Behind his back, in the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. That's what a pardon is. Amen. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the unrighteous, I better get it. Let the unrighteous forsake it. Okay, I'm going to look it up now. That's the mercy of God that lets you fall all over yourself. Sometimes just keep you humble. I don't mind that. Amen. I'd rather make a mistake than be guilty of being high-minded. I have a serious heart attack. Let the wicked, Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
I like that word, pardon. I really like it, maybe because I've got some experience with the justice system that some people don't have. You know, there's a three-point outline. How'd that work? Three-point outline. They all start with P's. One of them is probation. Maybe you don't know anything about this. Praise the Lord. I wish I didn't know as much about it as I do. And then there's parole. And then there's pardon. Now you just cut to the chase here. Of those three, pardon is much better. Amen. That's much better. I spent 5 years on federal probation, and I tell you what it was like. They gave me rules and requirements and regulations, and the gist of the thing was like this: Mr. Spurgeon, if you do everything just right, if you don't have any problems, if you're never late, if you don't ever fail a test, any of these things, if you dot all your I's and you cross all your T's just right, one day this may be over. But if you mess up one time, you're going to prison. I thought, that sounds like organized religion to me. You just every day, day in and day out, you don't really know if you're going to make it or not. I'm going to tell you something, bless God, I know I'm going to make it to heaven.
Amen.
Now I want to finish my course with gladness. I want to live in such a way as to be acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want that, but I know I'm going to make it into heaven.
Amen.
Yeah, because it isn't dependent upon any virtue of my own. Say, how do you know? Pardoned.
Amen.
Boy, when I went on federal probation, when that judge gave me 5 years paper and 1,000 hours community service, 1,000 hours community service, they said, what did they tell you to do? A Jewish federal judge ordered me to tell others how I got off dope, how I got off liquor, and how I got out of 15 years in criminal motorcycle gangs. He asked me to explain that. I stepped up the microphone in federal court and I said, I got saved, Your Honor. He said, excuse me, would you expound on that? I said, I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of all my sin, Your Honor. And that's all I had to say. I didn't have anything prepared. Usually the lawyer does all the talking. My lawyer's standing there going, what is going on here today? I'll tell you what, there were federal marshals with shackles and handcuffs that were looking forward to loading me in a van and taking me to a federal prison from that courtroom. I ended up going back to the church. They played Amazing Grace on bagpipes through the whole church building, rejoicing. My youngest daughter was 2 weeks old when I went to court. They said, you'll never raise that girl. Well, really, she's 21 now, still at my house. Amen. So I got put on probation, and this probation officer person lady, she gives me, I'm sitting at this big desk in a federal building, and she slides this piece of paper across the desk. She said, now, Mr. Spurgeon, these are all the rules. These are the stipulations. You need to read them, and when you understand them, you need to sign that paper. And so she just sat back, you know, started looking through her desk or something, and I took the paper, I looked at it, I skimmed the front, I flipped it over, I skimmed the back, I picked the pen up, and I signed it. And she got mad at me. I mean, this is not how you want to start federal probation, with a person mad at you. She goes, Mr. Spurgeon, I feel that you're not taking this seriously enough. You need to understand that if you break anything on those pages, any of those rules on that page, you're going to prison. I said, ma'am, I'm taking this seriously. I glanced the thing over. You're not asking me to do or stay away from anything that even begins to compare with the promises I made to Jesus Christ when He saved me. I don't anticipate having any problem. She looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm going to tell you what, I did 5 years federal probation. I did 1,100 hours community service. I did an extra 100 for that judge as a witness and a testimony. And when I walked out of the federal building in November of 1996, I got a standing ovation from the probation department, from the U.S. Marshals that I'd befriended and witnessed to for 5 years, and they'd never seen it like this before. And I walked out going, right there, it was all Him. It was Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, there's hope because of His pardon. Now that piece of paper that says that I'm released from federal disability and made it through probation, it's an important document in my life. Got a beautiful gold eagle on the top. I mean, I can't even afford a stationery. It's really it is so important that if you gave me about a week, I maybe could find it. I don't have any clue. Signed by a federal, I don't even have any clue. I'm going to tell you why that's not as important to me as maybe it would be to someone else. I got something better than that. I got a divine pardon signed in blood by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God my sins are gone. I'm here to tell you something today. No matter what's in your past, I'm going to tell you what. You cannot just have a future in heaven. There's hope in this life. That book says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
I'm just happy to start this meeting out. I asked God what to preach. Amen. Don't you want me to do that?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not downloading messages off the Sword of the Lord website. I don't even know for sure if they have one, but that's not where I'm going to go. Amen. I'm just saying, hey, there's hope this morning.
Amen.
Right. Amen. There's hope because of His pardon. Are you saved?
Amen.
Well, that's what you got. That's what you got. Amen. You got forgiveness of sin, man. You got pardoned.
Amen.
Get off your religious probation and come to Jesus Christ today. Maybe that's what someone needs. I don't know.
Amen.
But there's hope for because of another reason here now. Matthew 18 and verse 20 says this. Now, is the Lord doing the talking? He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. Let me tell you something this morning. There's hope because of His presence. There's hope because of His presence. That's why I like coming to church. I like coming to church. Amen. Somebody told me that you have to like it. You have to like it. It's your job. Let me tell you what. I think God let it be my job because I liked it already. I just got no better sense than to think if something's going on down at church house, You need to go. I started going to Sunday school. I go to Sunday school a Sunday morning, Sunday night. Our church meets on Thursday night. They'd have a prayer meeting. I'd go to that. If there was something going on, if they needed a volunteer, I'd volunteer. Why? I didn't have a job. Who's going to hire me? I'm a convicted felon. Everything I'm good at's illegal. Or at least that was the case way back then, anyway. And my friends are at church. Amen. I like these songs.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Amen. I like that. He says that in Psalm 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I like those old hymns. I don't like that stuff to get your body moving. I like that stuff. That was the old days. I like that stuff gets the heart moving. I like that music that reminds me of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. You know why? Because it reminds me I'm not the same as I used to be. Now, my flesh tries to convince me that I am and succeeds sometimes. In this world, sure enough, will. But I'm going to tell you what, that's why I like being around church. That's why I like being around Bible preaching and Bible teaching. And amen. I like church. This is where my friends are. Amen. I asked that preacher, came to the jail after I got saved 3 weeks after I heard the message. I'm hardhead. Amen. And I said, what do I do now? He said, what do you mean? I said, all my friends are crooks, man. What do I do now? He said, well, God will give you some new friends. Boy, I got out on bond. I made a $95,000 cash bond 3 weeks after I got saved. What if the Lord just didn't keep me in jail long enough to get saved, and then he let me out? He wouldn't let me out before. No bonded by a federal magistrate twice, and finally released. I went to a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio that morning, and man, I had hair down the middle of my back and dressed in black, looked like Paladin without the pistols. And it's another story why I didn't have the pistols. The feds had a little going out of business sale for me one day. But I wandered in there, and I tell you, hey, talk about feeling like a fish out of water, man. And I said, man, these people ain't going to want me in their church. But I made that preacher a promise I'd come because he said they were praying for me. I didn't even begin to comprehend the power of that. But I'll tell you what God did that day in my adolescence, as a believer. He gave me some new friends.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, the way I was received in that little church that Sunday morning caused me to do something I never intended to do. I went back that night. Matter of fact, I didn't even know people went back. They said, well, we hope to see y'all here tonight at 6 o'clock. I went, for what? And I didn't know people went to church twice on Sunday, once during the week, and then every once in a while they'd cut aside a block of time and just, what a bunch of fanatics. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Brother Spurgeon, are you one of them religious fanatics? Well, I shouldn't say religious. That's got a bad connotation. They said, are you one of them fanatics? I said, no. No, but that is my goal. That is my goal. Say, what do you mean? I tell you what I'd really like to be able to honestly say I'm as excited about the things of God as I was some things in the old days.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to be able to say that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, let me just say, I like coming to church for all those reasons. Man, I just like the lights being on. I mean, listen, the places I hung out for 20 years were dark.
Yeah.
And dingy and smelly and they stunk. Amen. And I like being in a place where nobody's cussing.
Amen. Say it again. Amen.
Yeah. Listen, Lord willing, you're not going to hear anybody take the Lord's name in vain in here.
Amen. Yeah.
You might have to put up with it somewhere. I hope you're not pumping it into your living room on a regular basis.
Amen.
You might have to put up with it at work or something, but Lord willing, you're not going to hear it in here.
All right.
Lord willing, nobody's going to hit on your wife or your daughter.
Yeah.
When you come in, if they do, we'll hit back. I like saying that. Amen. Maybe that's not, I don't know. I'm going to tell you what the best part about church. The best part. His presence. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Boy, thank God this isn't just some vain gathering. Thank God we got a purpose. Thank God we got a reason. Thank God we got a Savior that promised us that He'll meet with us. Amen?
Amen.
So we don't have to figure out how to get Him here. We have to figure out how not to run Him off.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just keep Him the center of this thing. Thank God there's hope because of His pardon. Thank God there's hope because of His presence. You know, it says in Colossians 1 and verse 27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not only is He where two or three are gathered together in His name, amen. Listen, if you're a believer in here, if you're a Christian in here, if you're saved in here, His presence is in you. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. You can't mess that up. Say, why would God make it like that? Because man, the testimony of mankind from the beginning is He messes everything up. So God had to figure out a way to make salvation foolproof. Amen. That's an interesting thought there. Foolproof. I'm glad this fool got in. Amen. And can't get out. Listen, it's His presence within you, amen, that bears witness to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God will bring all things to remembrance. I mean, have you ever been in a situation, perhaps doing personal work or witnessing or something like that, and somebody might ask a question, or you was able to draw out a verse that you didn't even realize you knew? Listen, I got my little verses. I used to drive around with a little index card trying to memorize verses and hide the Word of God in my heart, and that's all well and good. Boy, that's what we ought to do. Listen, you want to let me tell you the best way to teach your kids to memorize verses? You memorize verses.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Train them up in the way they should go. We want to teach. We want to teach. No, train is by example.
Amen.
Amen. And but how many times? I mean, I've been in times and maybe it was appropriate for whatever reason, and all of a sudden a verse came out. I'm going, wow, I didn't even know I knew that. Well, it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, bringing to remembrance. I mean, if you get in the Bible and you get in the teaching and you get in the preaching of the Word of God, that stuff goes in, and the Holy Spirit's got something to draw from. Listen, if you go buy a brand new computer and take it home and plug it in, you're not going to do nothing. I'm sorry. Do anything. My wife keeps trying to help me with the English language. She's not doing so good. If you don't load anything on the thing, man, you're not going to call anything out of it.
All right.
Amen. That's putting it in where everybody lives right there.
Right.
Download, you know. I'm not even sure if I know what that means, but it doesn't sound that good to me. I don't mean... There's hope because of His presence. I'm telling you today that it's His presence in you that tells you right from wrong.
Amen.
I can tell you, I went a long time, almost 38 years of my life without it. It's amazing what you can convince yourself is okay without the Spirit of God bearing witness. I'm going to tell you what. Yes, sir. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God it's His presence in you that convicts of sin.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you,
amen. Listen, I tell you what, I got a long way to go, man. I got things I struggle with. No, I don't struggle with some of the things I got victory over in these 20 years. But when I got done with that list of things that I thought were sins in my life, God said, okay, now you're ready for the next list. And I've been through that about three times. So this growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, it doesn't end. There's no degree, diploma. Amen. It's a process that doesn't end until you get home. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, I thank God for this right here. I thank God when I do something that's contrary to the Spirit of God, now I know it.
Right. Amen.
And the flesh doesn't have to win every time. He did make a way for us to get right.
Amen.
He made it as easy to get right with God after you're saved as He made it to get right when you weren't saved. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
There He goes. It's our move.
Thank you, Lord.
It's our move. Let me tell you what, God's not setting anybody up to fail.
Amen.
God's setting you up to succeed.
Amen.
And let me tell you something else about His presence. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm going to tell you what, we live in a lost and dying world. I come in from Austin yesterday and kind of came across the city that way. This is a pretty big town. This is twice as big as Dayton, Ohio, place where I live. And I'm going to tell you what, the only hope San Antonio's got is somebody needs to see Jesus Christ
Amen.
In somebody. And we got a bunch right here, and there's some on the north end and the south end. And I'm going to tell you what, their hope is Christ in us.
Amen.
Boy, people talk all the time, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord this. And, you know, that's a bunch of foolishness. You know, I tell my wife all the time when something goes wrong, I said, you know, if I was you, I'd put that on the list of things you need to talk to Eve about when you get there, you know. Amen. Bad thing about that is my wife's been saved 20 years longer than me and knows more Bible than me, so you don't play with her there. Amen. Amen. The only reason she submits to me is because the Bible tells her to, because she's smarter than me and more spiritual than me. She's actually a better preacher. I'm glad the Lord set this up like this. Amen. So that, or I wouldn't even have a job. Amen. But I'm telling you here, we say this. If I had a question, I would ask the Lord. And I understand we're going to know all this stuff, so it's not going to be necessary. I say, why would you leave such an important commission as the gospel of Jesus Christ to folks like us? You know, He knows what He's doing. I got confidence in that. He's got it worked out for Him to get the most glory. He's got all that figured out. But I'm going to tell you what. Their only hope, when I say there, I mean outside of these doors, and maybe you in here today if you're not saved. The only hope this world's got is to see Jesus Christ in the body of Jesus Christ. Last thing this world needs is another religion, another Bible, another belief system. They don't need none of that stuff. They just need some people to live like He is real. And I got news for you. He's the realest thing there is. You need to turn off the stinking internet and the television and the radio and spend some time with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, now, there's hope. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
Amen. There's hope because of His pardon. Amen. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you are. There's hope because of His presence. Aren't you glad He just doesn't save you and cut you loose and leave you alone and,
yes.
and meet you at the end of the line?
Yep.
I'll tell you what, He's mindful of His children and never leave and never forsake. There's hope because of His presence, but there's one more. There's hope because of His promises. Yeah. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, I tell you what, that sums it up right there. If you're saved here this morning, that's what happened. You escaped the corruption that is in the world. You've got hope this morning. But if you don't have a relationship with your Bible, guess what? You miss out on some precious promises that the Lord's given to you. It says this in Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I'll tell you what's going on in this day and age and in your life or mine, our country and the world. There's hope because of His promises. Amen? Now, if you're saved in here, the most precious promise in the Bible I would say would be John chapter 14, if you're saved, if you got any kind of relationship with the Word of God, then you would rejoice in this. It says in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that a blessing? Let me tell you what, the most precious promise in the Bible to the believer ought to be that the Lord's coming back. Amen. It says in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you what, that's what we ought to be looking for right there. Amen. Not another politician. Amen. Not another program. We need to be looking for our Savior. And I hope you are. According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you are, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. What a blessing. Would you get it? I'm not asking if you're saved. Would you get a crown of righteousness for looking for His appearing? Or would it take you by surprise? Amen. I got a little plaque on my desk. My kids made, one of my girls made for me, and it says, perhaps today. Perhaps today. You know why that's there? Because I need to be reminded that this could be the day. This could be the day. Lord, would that be okay with you? I mean, we've all got our plans. We've all got our... Would that be okay if God just interrupted your plans with the rapture? Hey, I was preaching like that one time, one place, and there's a young couple sitting in the front row, and they're young, and I said, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if the Lord just came back tonight? And they looked at each other. My understanding was that they were Christians and everything, and they looked at each other. They gave each other a real nervous look, you know, and they weren't amening or not like that. And I took note of that thing, and then went on later, and found out they were engaged. They're going to be married in 2 weeks. That explained the thought. Wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back there? I could read their minds, and it was like, you know, he's waited 2,000 years, you know, 2 more weeks, you know. I understood that. What I don't understand is people that have been saved 10, 15, 20, 30 years that have hidden some Word of God in their heart and just get up and get busy and go about their day and their life. And they don't have any consideration where the people around them are going. And they're not looking for the Lord to come back.
Right.
And it doesn't even cross their mind. And they know some things.
Right.
But man, it's not a heart issue anymore. I'm going to tell you, say it again. There's hope because of His promises. And the most precious promise in the Bible for the Christian is that He's coming back.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? That's the promise of the age, if you ask me. Now, the promise of the hour is... let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's the promise of the hour. I'm telling you what, we know it's late in the age. We know that. Amen. We know the testimony of the Laodicean church, and we know that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also in the last days perilous times shall come. And beloved, we're there. We're there. I think it's exciting that the Lord would trust us enough to put us here at this time. Hey, well, I don't look at it like that. Well, maybe you should start, because a whole lot of things in this life are just determined by how you choose to look at them.
All right.
Amen. It's not time to hunker down and bunker down. It's time to get out there and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there, because the Lord's coming back. And it may seem like it's we're not doing anything. It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It may seem, for as much as you know that your labor's not, sometimes it seems like it's in vain. Sometimes it seems like we're not making any difference. Sometimes it seems like the most thankless job in the world to try to abstain from all appearance of evil. But I'm going to tell you what, that Bible said it's not in vain.
Right.
Saddest thing we see traveling around the country is good born-again believers, no doubt in my mind, they're heaven-bound. They've been at it a while, and it just got wore out, and they just, if we faint, listen, it's not time to faint. It's not time to let up. It's time to get busy about the Father's business.
Amen?
More than ever. Say, well, that's why we're having a meeting. That's what this thing's all about. Encourage us. Fire us up, man. Get us to get the main thing back to being the main thing.
Amen. We need it. Amen.
There's hope. There's hope. I'm glad there's hope. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What a profound statement. I did it. I was alone in a jail cell on my way to federal prison, deserved to go, never thought I'd get out, never imagined coming into a church. Amen. But I called upon the name of the Lord from an honest heart. Amen. No eloquence, no flowery prayer. I said, Lord, if that book's true, I got bigger problems than I thought. Now, I knew I was going to prison, but that preacher showed me from that book I was going to someplace much worse than prison. That Bible says, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Wow, that's pretty definitive right there. Sounds awful, doesn't it? Unbelievable. Uncomprehensible. A lake of fire? It would be. But there's hope. No one has to go. He made a way for all of us to have our sins forgiven. I'm glad I got in on it. I'm glad He put it on a preacher's heart, come down to jail and preach to a bunch of strangers, didn't appreciate Him, didn't want Him there. But I'm glad He came. I'm glad God saved Him. I'm glad God saved me. If you're in here today, I'm glad God saved you. There's a little church in Staten Island. Thinks the world of you folks. Amen. Been bragging on you guys for 5 years. I've been going there. I'm glad I finally got down here. Amen. But, amen. Thank God there's hope, man. Thank God the gospel of Jesus Christ works. If you're in here today and you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven if you stepped into eternity today, and it could happen. I'll tell you what, you can know.
Amen.
And it's not our opinion or our church covenant or our... It's not... It's just... The Bible says you can know. And I'm not a salesman. Amen? And nobody's trying to talk anybody into anything. But I'm going to tell you what, we've got an obligation to tell you the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And the truth is, if you're not saved, you're on your way to a devil's lake of fire.
Amen.
And why? What did I do to deserve that? Listen, unless a person comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Bible says in John 3, they're condemned already. So somebody asked me, he said, what do I got to do to go to hell? I said, nothing, man. Just keep going the way you're going. You'll end up there. But you can turn to Christ by faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I'm glad I got it.
Amen.
I made a mistake taller than the Empire State Building, but I got one thing right, and it changed my eternity.
Amen.
And it changed my heart, and it changed the course of my life. And I didn't do it for the benefits. I did it because I knew I deserved to go to hell.
Right,
and the Bible says Jesus Christ died to keep me out. How about you this morning? Are you saved? Are you saved? Well, you got some hope, don't you? You got some hope because you've been pardoned. You got some hope because of His presence. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, the volume of the junk in this world will try to drown out the still small voice of God. But He's still there. He's still there. There's hope because of that. Sometimes, man, we let junk in our lives quench the Spirit of God. But this is day one. Day one, 10 services, 10 messages here. And maybe you already know something needs to be dealt with. Well, don't wait till Wednesday. Don't wait till Thursday. Do business with God. I promise I'll try to find something else to bring you under conviction about. I'll do my best. And what if I didn't? What if you just got everything as right with God as possible here this very service? Boy, wouldn't you be able to have a time this week just instead of sitting on your edge of your seat afraid the preacher's going to hit you?
Yeah. Amen.
I told one guy, I says, if you get hit every time the preacher preaches, you need to quit building your nest in the gun barrel, amen? Listen, if you know something needs to be dealt with, why don't you deal with it? You'll have a good time this week.
Amen.
Then you can pray for the rest of us. If you're in here and you're not saved, boy, I tell you what, there's nothing more important, nothing better to ever happen in your life. Is to let a man with a man, a woman with a woman, I mean up here in a room, I'd go on the roof with you. I don't care. Let us open the Word of God. Show you what it says about how you can know your heaven body. Say, well, I was raised, or I think. Hey, God bless America. You can think whatever you want. This is a pretty big deal. And God gave it to us in writing. And, hey, you don't like what it says? Have a nice day. But you reject Jesus Christ, you will not have a nice eternity.
That's right.
Come to the Lord while you can. Let's all stand. Give me a song.